I like to play with gender roles. I will put some eyelashes on, some highlighter, and a full beat on my face and go out. I've gone out in heels, I've gone out in corsets. I've played both roles and I've never felt uncomfortable in my skin. And I wish I had that confidence back then.
Hey y'all, welcome to Grand Canyon Speaks. This is Mirandon and I'm an intern here at Grand Canyon National Park.
And this is Ranger Melissa.
Before we jump into this episode, we are so excited to welcome you to season 2 of the podcast.
Ooh, yeah! Yes, our team has been able to have some amazing stories and conversations with more voices, more lived experiences, and more fun.
We hope you are just excited as we are to venture through season 2 and get to hear some amazing stories.
Speaking of amazing stories, let's start off with Zane Jacobs. He is Dene and the first traditional, indigenous, and local president of Flagstaff Pride.
Yeah, and it was so exciting to hear his connections to the Grand Canyon, his experiences with Flagstaff Pride going from a volunteer to now president, and what it means to live in Hojon.
Once again, welcome to season 2, and without further ado, here is Zane.
Zane.
Hi everybody, my name is Zane Jacobs. Glashe Nishle, Bilagana Bashashin, Kiaane Doshache, Dosh Bilagana Doshanele. I go by pronouns he, him. I am also the president of Flagstaff Pride. And yeah, I live in Flagstaff, Arizona. So yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Cool. And so I do like too that you mentioned your pronouns. So he, him, I go by pronouns, or I use pronouns they, them. Do you want to talk a bit about why those are important?
I think pronouns are extremely important, not just our community, talking about the 2S LGBTQIA plus community, but in all communities. It's an easy way to reaffirm someone's identity. It's, you know, it's validate who we are, and it's simple. It's just, it's an easy way to do it, and I think it's, yeah, why not?
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so how do you identify?
I am actually a gay Dene man. So I am a Navajo male that is gay. Yeah.
Nice. what is some of the history of queerness in Dene and indigenous cultures?
So quite a bit. So I wrote some talking points down so I didn't forget them because I'm horrible on a mic and a stage, which is kind of crazy because you see me on a stage a lot. So in indigenous cultures, queer identities were actually just part of the community in the past. They've always been recognized. They've always been appreciated. Especially in Dene culture, we have had, I forget the word. I mean, my mom's in the audience here, so she might actually know the word. But it means special people. So where we are all genders, and no gender at the same time. So our two-spirit, which we go by nowadays, has always been recognized by the Dene people here.
Mm-hmm. And did you ever notice like a change like when people started using the terminology two-spirit in your community?
I did. So two-spirit comes from the mostly Plains tribes. It started in the 1990s. And then all kind of indigenous people kind of accepted the term as two-spirit. There has been a little bit of change with the Dene people who go by two-spirit, but our culture has lived with this since the beginning of time. So I say two-spirit because it's easier for some other communities to relate to that, but I identify in my culture as I am who I am. I've always been that person. I've never had to say that I'm two-spirit in my Dene culture. There is a little bit of change, I guess, just to have everyone kind of have a common space, but mm-hmm. I've never actually had to do it in my actual family, so yes.
And so what was your journey to learning about your identity?
It's a long, important journey, and I think it's an important journey for everybody, for some self-reflecting, knowing who you are and actually being able to speak who you are. My journey was very simple because I come from an amazing family. So I have an amazing foundation. I have a very traditional Dene family, but I'm also half white. So a very supportive family on my white side as well. I've actually never come out of the closet, and I joke about it all the time. I've always just been myself. So nowadays, you hear these kids having these elaborate coming out parties, so maybe I'll have one soon. Yeah. But, I've always been so comfortable in my own self, they've never had to do it. Mm-hmm. I've never questioned about bringing a boyfriend home. It was just, Zane's going to bring someone, you know? I've just always been myself, and they've always accepted me.
Yeah. And do you want to talk too more about your experiences like outside of your family too?
Yes. So I'm very outspoken. I am very who I am and will tell you to your face if you don't like it, get over it. Or I'll leave. I don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. And I don't like confrontation. I don't, you know. But more and more, I feel like this generation especially has been so accepting and just open to more things that it's kind of easier now. Growing up, maybe not so much. We had to fight a lot. I'm 42. So in my generation, we had to fight for gay marriage. It was a big thing, you know. Mm-hmm. This generation didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. I have been part of, like I said, I'm president of Flex Up Pride. I have been on the board of directors for 17 years. In volunteering ways, on the executive committee, and now president. And Pride has changed. Mm-hmm. Before, it was more of an adult community that would come to our events. And now I'm seeing more kids. We tend to focus our festival as a family-friendly festival, which means we don't allow any adult kind of geared vendors at all. We don't have an adult area. We don't allow any lube or condom vendors or sponsors. We have a kids area. We have a dry area with no alcohol. We have an area specifically focused on health and wellness, which is in a dry area. And now this indigenous market that we've started for the first time for this year has made Pride so successful. So it's changed.
Yeah.
Like the community's changed a lot, and I give credit to this generation for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. And so you talked a little bit about indigenous market and stuff, but yeah. Do you want to talk about being the first traditional indigenous president of like Flagstaff Pride?
Yeah. So I'm actually the first local too. So I'm from Flagstaff. Northern Arizona is my home. I was born in Tuba City. Raised my whole life in Flagstaff, Arizona. Came back to Arizona after college, and then, I started out as a volunteer at Flagstaff Pride, and then have seen these kind of waves of presidents and people come in are amazing people. But we have never had a local president speak from our community be the president of our organization. So this year, when it was probably the first time that we've really given indigenous people a voice at our festival. And it is speaking volumes. This is the largest festival Flagstaff Pride has ever had, which makes us now the largest festival in Northern Arizona, which is amazing.
Cool.
This year we had the first, like I said, the first indigenous market, which we had 32 indigenous, queer-focused indigenous artists at the festival, which we led in. And it was so successful. I don't see us ever turning back or changing it now. Like it's good to see that indigenous people are actually having a voice and using it, and people are seeing it now. I'm fortunate just to be lucky to say that I'm indigenous and to be part of it. I knew it was gonna happen. I knew there was gonna be a first indigenous president, a first local traditional president. Sometime, I didn't think it was gonna be me, but it happened to me, and I'm really fortunate and I'm really lucky to be able to be part of it, so yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so you said you volunteered too. How long did it take to get to the position you're in now?
17 years.
Wow.
So I say 17 years. I started as a volunteer. I've been part of several different organizations, Jerry's Kids, American Cancer Society, most recently, the Shadows Foundation and Flagstaff, I was on the board of directors of, and now Flagstaff Pride I've always been a part of. But I started as a volunteer, worked my way up to the volunteer coordinator, and then soon after that became the vice president of Flagstaff Pride. And then I kind of just stayed in the back seat for Flagstaff Pride probably for a good 10 years. And then I stepped away for a little bit and then came back and saw a need where our president emeritus, Deb Taylor, who is just phenomenal. She's changed Flagstaff Pride in so many ways and given us a foundation to do what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be more grateful for her. To become the first president, she was terming out and they needed a president, and I accepted the position last September. Nice. So this is going on 2 years now.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. And so we've talked a lot about, you know, these Pride festivals and everything, but what does Pride mean to you?
It means the celebration, being seen, being who your authentic self is. I wrote all these notes down and I'm not even looking at them. But I think it's being who you are and having people see your authentic self. Mm-hmm. And when you're your authentic self, you could truly live. And I think that's what all humans should do. They should be living in Navajo, they say hajo, which is living in the hajo way, which is the beauty way. And being in sync with nature, with life, the universe, the land, you know, the animals, living in this spirit kind of way has always been my goal, I guess. It's what I seek, it's what I reach for, and I could never do that if I didn't think I was living my authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Nice, I love that. Yeah, and so you said you were born in Tuba City, live in Flagstaff. Why is the Grand Canyon important to you?
So personally, I mean, I'm from Tuba City. If we could look over these trees right over here, my Shemasana is buried right over there. My ancestors are from this land. Me and my mom were talking on the drive here. This land has provided for our family personally for generations. We're from here. This dirt is in my blood. We still hold cattle over there, branding yearly. My uncles still hunt this land, you know. Mm-hmm. The Grand Canyon has always been part of who we are, and the Dene people, our ancestors mm-hmm. are from this land. You can just look around over my shoulder here, like, you cannot look there and not feel something internally and be like, wow, that's bigger than what we are. That's our ancestors, that's our people. Mm-hmm. That's our connection to the earth here.
Yeah. So is this your first time coming to the Grand Canyon, like, as in the park section?
So I grew up, like we were saying, we have a ranch right over there, actually, and it's called Big Canyon Ranch. So I actually grew up taking trips and going chasing cattle, finding horses run off the edge of the canyon.
Oh,
so
no.
I've grown up on this land. This is not my first time. Nice. This is my second time to the park. Mm-hmm. But growing up, I've been part of this canyon forever. So
yeah. Nice. So where do you see the intersection between your identity as a gay man and as a Dene man?
So this one I am definitely gonna look at my notes for. So because I really wanted to make sure that I knew that I was hitting this point, because I think it's important because they are, okay, so I did say I find strength and purpose. My identity as a Dene man informs my activism in, you know, the community, and my experience as a gay man gives me a unique insight how to create more inclusive spaces in our culture.
This wasn't something we had talked about beforehand, but how do you kind of define activism, like, in this context?
That's a hard one. So mm-hmm. I feel like I am an activist by just being my authentic self, honestly. Mm-hmm. I mean, being who I am has put me into an activist position. Being indigenous today makes me an activist.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking up for our people and all, and just putting a light on indigenous people makes me an activist. So just being who I am has already done that.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I've gone to a million protests. I've helped create protests. I've walked them. I've been at the White House, speaking at the White House. I've been protesting the White House. I've done marches and, you know, I have done all of that, but I don't think that necessarily makes me the activist. Being my authentic self has made me an activist in this community.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. What, you know, gives you hope, especially in the terms of, like, pride and everything kind of going on in the world? Yeah, what's your kind of, like, source of hope?
I hope by being myself and being vocal and being seen gives that opportunity to these young people and these young leaders that they can do it too. I'm fortunate. I came from a very strong foundation. Thank you, Mom. And I've come from this, you know, this accepting world where I didn't have to fight so hard. But as president, I've seen the coming out stories. I've taken in kids who have literally been kicked out of their houses for just coming out. I've helped parents take their trans kids to go see doctors, to talk to counselors, to introduce them to people who are part of this community. I've seen that struggle. I've had friends commit suicide because of it. I've had family commit suicide over it. I hope by being myself, my hope would be to have these other young people, parents, kids, family members, everybody, see that it's okay to be yourself. Mm-hmm. It does get better. As cheesy as that sounds nowadays, mm-hmm. it does get better. And there's a space for you in this community, and hopefully all communities. Yeah.
And so what would you tell your younger self if you had a chance?
A lot. I think I wish I had this confidence that I had it back then. I mean, I came from a very supportive family, I keep saying it. But I don't think I've ever been as confident as I am now. Mm-hmm. I will walk into a sporting event in any way, in glitter, in sequins, in a mesh shirt, and feel super confident and not let anyone give me kind of a stare, or I'm right there with them, you know? And like, I wish I had this confidence that I did as a younger person. Mm-hmm. I like to play with gender roles. I will put some eyelashes on, some highlighter, and a full beat on my face and go out. I've gone out in heels, I've gone out in corsets, I've played both roles, and I've never felt uncomfortable in my skin. And I wish I had that confidence back then.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
And so you've worked a lot with kids, like you were talking about. Do you have any advice for younger people who might be listening to this later and maybe are kind of lacking that confidence that you just talked about?
It comes. It comes. Mm-hmm. It might not be here yet, but it comes. It will be here. And find yourself in a community. There's a community out here, the LGBTQI+, it's a long alphabet, 2I. But I can speak for myself and I can speak for our board of directors. We are here to support. We can give you outlets. We can give you what you need if you can't find that space. Mm-hmm. But we like to call it our chosen family, because people kind of get kicked out or people lose some of those people who don't necessarily get it yet. They come around, they do. And I hope that young people know that there's a community there for them. And maybe it's hard now, but hopefully you will get there. And if not, I'm here to help. I'm a phone call away. So yeah,
nice.
And there's not just me, a whole community, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so you've already done so much as president of Flagstaff Pride. Like, what are you hoping to achieve in the future in this role?
Well, I mean, as a president of an organization, growth is always my number one. I always want to see us do bigger and better. Sometimes bigger and better doesn't mean numbers, though, to me. So right now, we're the biggest festival in Northern Arizona. Mm-hmm. Makes us the second largest right now LGBTQI+ festival in Arizona.
Wow.
I believe Phoenix Pride is number one, then it goes Flagstaff Pride, then Phoenix Pride's Rainbow Festival, and then Tucson Pride. This year we had 126 vendors at our festival, which is unheard of and stressful. But it is like, I'm thinking about maybe turning it down a notch. Maybe we're losing that sense of self, and maybe growing the numbers is not where we should be, but maybe growing in community is where we need to be more. So I'm reflecting. I'm gonna take what I've learned so far in my first year as president. And I wanna see, I wanna do more. I wanna do more free events. I wanna do, you know, I wanna see us not just stuck in a park throwing a great festival of great music, but I wanna see events happening all year round. I mean, we do other events in town, but I wanna see them just as big as Flagstaff Pride is right now, so yeah.
Do you have kind of like a favorite memory from working in this role, or, you know, with Flagstaff Pride for so long?
Yes. But I'm gonna keep that for myself. There are some things in life that you should keep to yourself, mm-hmm. and enjoy them for you only. There are amazing memories that I have, but those favorite ones are for me only. And I have cherished them, and I have been truly thankful to be a part of where I am today because of them. Mm-hmm. And those are for me. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what is kind of coming up next for you? I know you've got a lot going on.
So this has been a big year. So I took over as president in September. Flagstaff Pride happened in June. I knew a month before our festival that Dr. Jill Biden was going to come to our festival, and we were able to bring her out. Nice. I was 72 hours before could tell the public that we were bringing Jill Biden to our festival. And then after that, the White House actually flew me out to the White House, and I was able to go to the White House Pride, which was amazing because also the American Voices of Indigenous People Festival was going on. And the whole National Mall was just full of Indigenous people. It was unreal. Like, it was just so crazy. I could talk 45 minutes on that because, flying into DC was hard for me because there's a lot of torn. America, you know, white people, a lot of rich white old men making rules about our country, and I didn't see my place going there, and it didn't feel right until I saw that festival, and I go, I belong here. Mm-hmm. I should be seen, and I should be part of this. And I wasn't even at the I wasn't even part of that festival. I was going to the White House. Like, so that all happened. You guys called me to come out here and speak. Next month, I am doing the Aaron White's Tribal Stomp, who was on this podcast at the beginning. I'm emceeing that with Zahn McLaren from Reservation Dogs and all these amazing artists. Like, you know, if I could keep doing all these events and giving a voice to this community and showing that Flagstaff is, you know, they didn't make a wrong decision in making me president, then I'm happy to be the face of it. So, yeah.
So how can people here get involved both, you know, with Flagstaff Pride and your organizations as well as, you know, in their own hometowns?
So this one I'm definitely going to read to you because this one I want to make sure that you all hear because I think it's important. I think being... So there's many ways to get involved. From volunteering with Flagstaff Pride to participating in events, whether they're drag shows, parades. Our parade was the second one this year. We had over 42 floats in this plate and almost 1,200 attendees just watching. And it was like, it was chilling. Like it was so, we came around the corner and the whole square was just full of rainbow flags and trans flags and non-binary flags. And it was just like, wow, this community sees us. Like it was really, really cool. But being part of these events, supporting other local queens and local talent, being part of, you know, a queer collective or a gay straight alliance, supporting these kind of clubs and letting other families know, like, there's a community here to keep people safe and creating a safe place. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're always looking for passionate people. We have board seats open. If you're interested in being part of the board, volunteer, come see what we do. If you want to be part of it, we want you to be part of it. So come, yeah. Nice. You can always come, you can reach out to me at zane@flagstaffpride.org. You can go to our website at flagstaffpride.org, list all of our events, follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram.
Nice. And so before we kind of open up to the audience, I have kind of two more questions. One, is there anything that I haven't asked you yet that you were wanting to talk about?
No, I think we covered a lot.
Yeah, we're good.
Nice. Yeah.
And what do you want the audience here today and those listening to take away from our conversation?
I think honestly, and I can't repeat it enough, create a safe space. Let the youth know that we're here to create an environment and a community that people should be who they are and enjoy being their authentic selves. I think it's important for everyone. If you don't agree with it, maybe you need to learn more about it. And if you're not learning more about it, then maybe that's not for you. Some things aren't for me and I don't let it bug me. Let it go, you know? So I think it's, if I can let someone take something away, let people be themselves. And if you have questions, and if as long as you have no any ill intentions towards someone, ask those questions. Mm-hmm. Let's spread this knowledge and let people be who they are. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you
of course.
So much. And I also really appreciate that you were like, ask me anything. And I was like, oh, the possibilities. So now, yeah, if anyone in the audience has a question, feel free.
Yeah.
I just want to start, though. But my second clan is Kehaani, and I'm also from Tuba.
Oh, yay. Yeah.
My question is, you're really inspirational and, so much confidence, and there's a lot of motivation. I'm just curious of who your mentor is.
You're sitting right next to her. You really are. My mom has come from a world that not many would survive. And to see my mom do it is all the motivation I know that I need to do it in this world. Stay close to your traditional ways because that's all you really need too. Navajo and Diné people, traditional ways, it's beauty. It's the Hoxha way. So living this lifestyle, being close to your culture, be close to your mothers and your grandmothers and your aunts. That's my foundation. I come from a line of strong women. I'm getting chills. I love you, Mom. I am so fortunate just to see these women be like strong indigenous women, take it in, soak it. When I lost my grandmother, it was one of the hardest times because she was just, she was a woman that you were like, you never wanted to cross, but you wanted to be everything that she was. I see that in my mom. See, you'll see it in your family. Diné women are special. Take it in, especially Kehaani. You know that. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
Australia, so I don't know a lot about, the indigenous people of here. You mentioned that being a homosexual man in that community, it's not really a thing, it's just part of the culture. Can you speak a bit more about that?
Yeah, so actually, so being two-spirit in indigenous communities, not all, there are some indigenous communities where it wasn't accepted, and I don't want to speak for all indigenous communities, but a lot of indigenous communities have kind of come together and accepted this term as two-spirit, someone who's lived in both of these gender roles. There is no masculine, feminine in this two-spirit world. And actually, in Australia, the indigenous people there have the same thing. So, you know, Sok Savan, who's on our board of directors, actually has his PhD and just came back from Australia. He actually teaches at NAU, is doing this amazing class on sexual identity and he speaks about it all the time. He's amazing. Look him up. He's on our board of directors. FlagstaffPride.org. For me, it's just a life. I don't go preaching it. I don't go around practicing. I have no awards about being a two-spirit of the world, you know? This is who I am and this is what I live. So it's hard to kind of just, what do you want to know? You know? Because it's just my life. And I can say that for the Two-Spirit people that I know, it's just them being themselves and living their life. They've never really been saying, you have to do it this way, or you have to do it that way. We're just who we are.
Nice.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course.
This has been great. Thank you all for coming out. Looks like it's also going to be a beautiful sunset.
Grand Canyon Speaks is a program hosted by Grand Canyon National Park and the Grand Canyon Conservancy. A special thanks to Aaron White for the theme music. This recording reflects the personal lived experiences of tribal members and do not encompass the views of their tribal nation or that of the national park. To learn more about Grand Canyon First Voices, visit www.nps.gov/grca. Here at Grand Canyon National Park, we are on the ancestral homelands of the 11 associated tribes of the Grand Canyon. These being the Havasupai Tribe, the Hualapai Tribe, the Navajo Nation, the Hopi Tribe, the Pueblo of Zuni, the Yavapai Apache Nation, the Kaibab Band of Paiute Indians, the Las Vegas Paiute Tribe, the Moapa Band of Paiutes, the Paiute Indian Tribe of Utah, and the San Juan Southern Paiute Tribe.